Ryan Michael was perfectly well aware that even here in Caris, altogether too many wealthy merchants and manufactory owners had absolutely no regard for their employees as fellow human beings. He and Hausman both detested that view. Indeed, Michael had been an outspoken critic of that sort of thinking literally for decades, and he felt reasonably confident that that was one of the reasons King Harald had approached him and Hausman when he needed to create the manufacturing basis for his new navy. "And those idiots who try to screw every single hundredth mark out of their workers deserve the loyalty they get in return, since it's absolutely non-existent," he thought caustically. "Funny how starvation and loyalty don't seem to go hand in hand, isn't it? But see to it that they have affordable housing and healers, that there are schools available for their children, that they have the wages in their pockets to buy food and clothing, and that they all know you're constantly looking for foremen and supervisors from among anyone with the wit and ambition to better themselves in your employ, and it will repay you 100 times over just from a purely selfish viewpoint." That was a lesson Edward Hausman wasn't going to forget, even here, even in the face of the crisis the entire kingdom faced. It was, in fact, one he had learned from Michael, and he'd taken it even further in at least one respect. Hausman had established an investment pool for his employees, one which actually allowed them to buy a share in the ownership of the foundries and manufactories in which they worked. And the employees at each of his enterprises were allowed to elect a single steward who represented their interests at the managerial level as well. Any steward actually had the right to meet directly with Hausman, if the situation was serious enough for the workers who'd elected him to demand it. That entire concept had been an unheard-of concession, even in Caris, until Hausman initiated it. Now it was actually spreading beyond his own enterprises, and the older man felt a glow of almost paternal pride as he gazed out at the growing sprawl of manufacturing capacity which was going to cement Edward Hausman's claim to be the wealthiest man in Caris in the very near future. "What's your cannon production up to now?" he asked after a moment.
"Not where we need it to be, yet," Hausman replied. "That is what you are asking, isn't it?"
"More or less," Michael admitted.
"Actually, between the operation here and my other foundries, we're producing just over 200 pieces a month," Hausman said.
Michael's eyebrows rose, and he pursed his lips in a silent whistle, but the younger man shook his head.
"That's all of them, Michael. Long guns, carronades, field pieces, wolves, the lot. At the moment, we're better than half of the kingdom's total production, too. And to be honest, we can't increase production of bronze guns much beyond where we are right now. There's simply not enough copper and tin available. Of course, the mine's production is going up rapidly now that the new gunpowder is available for blasting, as well as artillery, but we're still going to bottleneck on the lack of metal at any moment."
"What about the iron guns?" Michael asked.
"That's a considerably brighter picture, actually," Hausman smiled. "Those iron deposits Earl Highrock wanted developed are starting to come in very handy, although I hadn't really anticipated operating them myself. I'd planned on leasing the rights, but it's turned out to be a lot simpler to just hire experienced mining operators and put them to work for me."
He shook his head.
"We won't really hit our stride with them until the canals are completed, of course, but when they're opened, production is really going to climb. Of course, I couldn't have done any of this without the new artillery contracts from the Crown."
"Of course," Michael agreed. After all, he'd experienced exactly the same thing. His rope walks had increased production by almost 300%, and his textile manufactories were growing even more rapidly.